Thank you, Ant-Man. No relation to the Marvel superhero, they claim. Well, thank you, Ant, for writing in. And you know what? Kyle and I actually did, based on many of our listeners writing in, we did sample that program on USA. I haven't watched USA Network in forever.
I know. I think MacGyver was the last show I watched on
well,
USA.
Well, that's not even from the USA Network. This is an original. I just didn't like the sound of watching the USA Network, even though USA probably doesn't even stand for United States of America. Does anybody know what USA originally stood for? It's probably one of those, like MSNBC stood for...
United Studio Artists.
No, CNBC is the one. Cable News and Business Channel, even though it's an NBC channel,
right.
The NBC didn't stand for NBC.
It doesn't.
And MSNBC probably stands for something else. So USA, who knows what it stands for? Point is, it's a channel I didn't watch very often. But a lot of listeners said...
A lot of people recommended the show.
Mr. Robot's a good show, they
said. I don't think it disappointed.
It's a good show. I agree. We've watched a few episodes now, and...
It's got its own aesthetic, its own pace, its own kind of feel. Now, definitely dark. It's a little kind of surreal in some ways, I think.
As it should. Yeah. Life is dark. Life is surreal.
Yeah.
And life takes place in the Lower East Side, which is where a lot of this takes place.
You like
and
that, don't
Coney
you?
Island, too. Yeah, absolutely. It's well done. It's got the right mood to it. And I think it's, for the most part, there are a few things, but for the most part, it's technologically accurate.
It's very accurate. Yeah. Whenever they're working with machines, whatever they're doing is pretty well what you would be doing if you were trying to do what they were doing. So.
Now, we've watched CSI Cyber, so we know of what we speak.
Yeah, we know. We know the good stuff.
We've been to the other side of the mountain, and now we're coming back to the good side. And I think, hopefully, it's been renewed for another year, but hopefully it'll keep up the high quality we've seen so far. Rob, have you seen it?
I have not, but I've been told by many, many people that I should be
watching
it.
I'm telling you right now, again, that yes, you should. How about you, Bernie?
I have not seen it yet. I watch very little television, but... if a TV was near me and it was on, I would watch it.
Okay, new rule. I think this should be something that everybody affiliated with the show should do, is watch every program having to do with hacking. I know that every program has to do with hacking.
Could we have a vote?
Every single program has a hacker in it someplace.
Could we vote?
But how about the shows that focus on hacking? I think, you know, so we know how bad they are or how good they are, and we can tell other people, because our listeners look to us for this information. And, you know, we were told by our listeners, thank you, listeners, for letting us know this.
We should be a cultural well of new and interesting stuff that we see coming on the horizon.
And speaking of listeners, you are listening to Off the Hook on WBAI New York. You are not listening to the Personal Computer Show because they are on vacation this week. I don't know where they wound up going off to. They go on these wild, extravagant trips, and we have to fill the gap that they leave behind. Okay, so that was the sound effect, Bernie.
Sorry about that. It was another phone ringing.
Another phone? You have another phone? I've long suspected.
No, it wasn't mine. It was someone near me whose phone happened to ring.
Didn't sound like a seagull. Didn't sound like a foghorn. Sounded like a cell phone. Okay. Well, we're learning more and more. Did you guys have any more thoughts on television? Or
I will catch up on Mr. Robot, because I am a connoisseur of hacker-themed entertainment, probably more than is good for me. So I will have to check this out now.
Yes. Yes, you will have to.
It definitely embellishes a little bit. I mean, it is not every story we've ever read in any kind of filtered sense, and mm-hmm. it's an amalgamation, right? It's not something I think you would take verbatim, but there are so many parallels and so many stories in there, and attitudes, ways of being, ways people are like involved in the community and involved with the media and the outside world. There's so many of those things that I think speak to and are instructive and really get to the heart of a lot of the issues we've covered in the past. So it's certainly, I think, something you want to go into with maybe a little critical eye. You mm-hmm. probably might know more about one thing or the other of things they cover. But it really does encapsulate a sentiment. It really does put things together in a pretty well thought through way. I mean, it lays it out.
I was surprised. I was actually very surprised by how well it did so far. I'm always waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah.
And there certainly are a lot of instances where that's not the case. I mentioned CSI Cyber. There's at least one other out there that really makes me retch when I see it. And then there are gems. Silicon Valley is a real funny program on HBO, which is worth tracking down as well. A lot of people in the technology world think it's too real, and they don't like it for that reason.
Yeah.
Or they think it's too insulting.
But I have critiques. I mean, I don't like the main character in Mr. Robot that much. There, I said it.
Well, I mean, I think he's kind it's of, not about popularity in the hacker world, is it?
You know, no, it
times,
isn't.
The best hackers are the most unpopular people. So
I think he has a very irritating personality. But maybe that's the character building on me. You know, that's part of watching and experiencing stories like that.
I'm spending most of my time trying to figure out what subway line he's riding because it seems like a short line. It looks like a shuttle on the Lower East Side they used to run. I think it's got a red letter on it, which is also kind of weird on
right.
the old style trains. But that's the kind of thing I worry about.
Yeah, I think he's a little cocky.
Yeah, Rob.
So, is the show about somebody whose name is Mr. Robot?
Well, yes,
Let's not give away too much.
He's not the protagonist. That's as much as I'll say
yet.
Okay.
As far as I know, maybe he is. I don't know. The person we follow and who experiences him is introduced to a Mr. Robot.
Okay, there is a title character.
There are the decent programs. You don't know who's going to make it to the next episode.
That's right.
And the last episode we saw, he very well might not have made it to the episode afterwards. It's possible. I don't know. Hey, hear that? Fire engines. We have sound effects, Bernie, because we don't have soundproofing in our make-do studios.
I think it's a seagull.
It's a seagull driving a fire engine. That's what I thought.
No, it was a real fire truck going down Atlantic Avenue. That was that was exciting. Okay. Also, Halt and Catch Fire. That's great.
Okay, yeah. So Silicon Valley, I think, is good and hilarious and spot on, and I love that people don't like it because it reminds them of themselves. But also, Halt and Catch Fire, very good, ish. But I think it lacked in some areas. You didn't feel it quite so. What?
Didn't care for it that much. I just didn't like anybody in it, and I know that shouldn't be a requirement for a program that you like people in it. I mean, one of our favorite shows, Happy-ish, got canceled because people didn't like the characters. But it was supposed to be annoying characters dealing with annoying things. But lots of times people don't get that. It was brilliantly written, though. That was the important thing. Halt and Catch Fire is not brilliantly written. I'm sorry. It doesn't excite me.
Yeah.
And the characters don't excite me.
I liked a little bit of the retro stuff, but the cohesion of the group, the way they interacted, just, I mean, there were some pretty decent individual characters, but it didn't come together that well. And the aesthetic was, again, it was very dark, kind of dingy 70s. I don't really like that.
For those who don't know, anyway. It's about the early days of the microcomputer revolution.
Early generic,
developing,
I guess,
a new product, being first
X86,
at a conference to have this particular item.
Totally, yeah.
All the things that don't excite me at all, but you can make things that are unexciting interesting if you do it right.
They carry it really well. I mean, the story, they push it along, and it shows cool topics and cool equipment, and really the dawn of that kind of semiconductor, early microchips, and all the stuff that really sped up the rate of development and research, because people were able to then cheaply use these machines, and it just built from there. So in that sense, I think it's really important history, and it's cool to watch a bit of a drama about it. But I don't know, that I'm with you a little bit. I think the characters, like the one guy, reminded me of the American Psycho main character or something. He was like supposed to be the Steve Jobs type. I forget what his name was, but he was too polished.
That's the thing, I forget everybody's name.
He was too slick, and he was like, I was waiting for that to like wear off. It was the whole series. He was just this like slick sales guy that I just hated. Anyway, but that's the cool thing, to be critical and watch it.
Know? This is our occasional critique on hacker programs on television. And like to hear your feelings, oth@2600.com. Or, hey, you could even call us in a few minutes when we tell you how to do that.
And tell us about other shows. If you see other media out there about hackers,
please,
about your community, maybe some local programming, maybe you've made a show yourself with your friends, you have stories to tell about hacking, about technology, about maybe some legal stuff that you've run into in your time, share that. That's really, really critical. It's so fascinating to get turned on to new programming, new storytelling, new channels and places where people are doing some of that storytelling. And then we will in turn share it with the rest of with our audience and other people that would benefit from checking it out too. So, and that helps the discussion about what hackers are, helps us define our ideology and tell our story in as accurate a way as possible instead of other people telling our stories badly.
All right. Again, the phone number to donate, 212-209-2950. We have the Hacker Calendar, 2016 Hacker Calendar, filled with hacker dates and payphone photos. That's for a pledge of $50. It's also autographed by all of us here at Off the Hook. For a pledge of $100, you'll get a copy of Mobilize, the DVD documentary about the dangers of cell phone radiation. You can believe it, you cannot believe it, but it's important to open yourself up to the conversation. That's the best way I can describe it. That's for a pledge of $100, 212-209-2950. Let's read another letter. Then, hopefully, we'll get some phone calls, and then we can figure out how to take phone calls on the air. Here is a listener that wrote to us. Telling us that he disagrees with promoting hacktivism in the manner that you do. And this is what happens. He said, when hackers take liberties with morality, and points us to the recent hack involving Planned Parenthood. You guys familiar with this? This is basically...
They had a bunch of conversations leaked that had been videotaped. There were like a dinner or a lunch with somebody who was...
That's something else. That's a videotape that got heavily edited and...
Oh, this is the takedown and
released,
and
but their
internal
their,
stuff.
Their website was hacked. It was, I believe, last Sunday night.
Okay.
A group of hackers who apparently opposed the healthcare nonprofit's abortion practices released Planned Parenthood's website databases, as well as names and email addresses of the organization's employees. Anyway, I'll get to that story in a second. Let me finish this letter. You have been radicalizing people I know who are now currently in prison. That's signed Angelo. That was the letter I alluded to earlier. We're accused of radicalizing people.
Yes.
So now, this is a hard subject to respond to. I'm not sure if he's accusing us of radicalizing the kind of people that hacked Planned Parenthood, or if we're radicalizing the kind of people that hack Strat4 or all kinds of other organizations out there. But I think we've always said on these airwaves that there are good hacks and there are simplistic hacks. And I think, just denial of service attacks are not the best hacks in the world. That basically just shuts up your opponent or somebody that you want to wipe off the net. Releasing people's private information, never really a nice thing to do. But going into a site and uncovering scandals and basically showing public policy, governments, corporations, things like that, things that affect all of us, that's almost a responsibility. If you can figure out a way to get that information, you should get that information. I don't know if that's radicalizing. I know that might step outside some people's boundaries, but we've always pretty much said to people that just shutting something down is not really a legitimate hack. And in fact, that kind of thing will be used against you when somebody disagrees with something you say. It doesn't get us anywhere, and that's at least that's my viewpoint as far as how that goes.
I think my attitude, and just in reading that and hearing that, I mean, I think we, I would say, yeah, I mean, we would accept that characterization as radicalizing people to be radical, right? To speak their minds, to think critically, to stand up when there is wrong going on around them and no one else is doing anything about it.
So you're okay owning the word radicalized as long as it means something?
I think we should own that. I mean, I think running away and saying, like, trying to defend ourselves, I think definitely we do. We should accept that on a certain level. What I don't think we should bear the responsibility for is people messing up or doing things, badly themselves. I mean, we're not telling people specifically what to do in any particular context. If they make up some plan themselves and do something, I think that's on them, because that's correlation without causation. I don't know. You're trying to tie us into some individual friend that maybe decided, oh yeah, I love hacking now, and now I'm going to do this. your interpretation of that as hacking, I think, really drags us into stuff we have absolutely no control over. You know, if people are inspired, that's great. But if they are inspired and then do something that is hurtful or wrong that we ourselves wouldn't really participate in, I think that that's unfair.
And also, this is kind of all speculation because, excuse me, not knowing more about the cases Angelo is talking about with these people he knows who are now in jail, we don't know what they did or why they did it or how they did it. And these are all very important pieces of data when judging whether something is okay. But one thing that I can say that we've been, I think that has been a central aspect of the things this show has reported on since day one, has been unfitting punishments for offenses that might be termed hacking.
Yes.
And you know, I don't know, again, I don't know what these people did, what these individuals are responsible for, but I will say in general, there are still very, very severe punishments being meted out for undeserving what I would maybe say is a minor offense. And so, you know, if Angelo, if you want to write back to us with more info on these particular cases you're talking about or these particular people you're talking about, you know, we could address it then. But in general, I would say that there's probably a very good chance that these people probably don't deserve to be in jail for whatever it is they did, just, you know, given the prevailing trends.
I think they would be specifically writing us to tell us that specifically. I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find another example of a show or institution, or at least for comparison, but mm-hmm. to this end, that has been as proactive about informing hackers about the right way to handle things and, you know, examples of people messing up. And mm-hmm. I think we've done that time and time again. There's plenty of people in the magazine that write in about their situations who have found themselves imprisoned or whatever. But we definitely try to tell as many of these stories as possible to get it out there that, you know, these are the kinds of consequences. And that really is the crux of this. You must consider consequences, just like they tell you in grade school, you know, mm-hmm. consider the consequences of your actions. And I think we've been as vigilant about telling the stories of what people get into when they are the effect of these fancy new laws here.
And the thing to remember too is that when something or a website, a corporation, or gets invaded or hacked or has private information released, I don't think we can fairly say this is good, this is bad. It's always incumbent on the people who are holding on to the data to keep it safe. And in the case of Planned Parenthood, they did not do that. Now, I know I've been watching the stories on this, and I think it's a little two-faced in some ways, because the stories are calling the people who hacked the site extremists. And radicals, too. I've heard, you know, right-wing radicals and things like that. And that might be the case. They may have certain unpalatable views in your eyes and in our eyes, perhaps. But the fact is the same as when a big evil corporation gets hacked. That information should not have just been lying out there. There was no security. And if there is a particular method to be used against one entity, that method is going to be used against a different entity, regardless of what side of a particular issue they're on. So some responsibility has to be carried here. And we have to realize that nobody is immune from this kind of thing. And the only way to protect yourself is to learn a thing or two about security, learn what to keep on your servers, what not to keep on your servers, and expect the unexpected. And in this particular case, it doesn't look like they were expecting this to happen. Lots of times there are either people with a political motive, which makes it an interesting conversation either way, or there are people just looking to have fun, mess things up. The case of New York Magazine, their website was hacked last week. They had problems for hours right after they put out a story about Bill Cosby. Now, it had nothing to do with Bill Cosby. It had to do with some bored kid someplace known as Threat King. He disclosed the incident through a Twitter account. He told the Daily Dot that he hates New York City because of a recent visit. That is why he hacked New York Magazine, because he hates New York City because of a recent visit. Here's what Threat King had to say. Many stupid people at New York. I have not even seen the cover, LOL. Yeah, And if you go to that person's SoundCloud page, you'll hear a recording saying, "We are going to destroy state websites, city websites, agency websites, and court websites of the United States. You have took away our country, and it's time to get it back by destroying the United States." And then the story that I'm reading goes on about Bill Cosby, because it has absolutely nothing to do with Bill Cosby or New York Magazine. It has to do with some bored kid someplace latching on to something and spouting a bit of rhetoric. We should not be taking these stories this seriously. And unfortunately, every single day in the news, we do. Websites are always open to being compromised one way or another, and won't always be compromised by people who know what they're talking about or who even know what you're talking about. Here's a case right here. The website for the Etowah County Sheriff's Office was hacked on Saturday. Do any of you know where Etowah County is?
I haven't a clue.
Nobody knows. But now you will, because of this story. So some education is possible. It's in Alabama.
Alabama.
Yes. And according to WBRC and the Gadsden Times, a hacker posted the following. Hacked by Muhammad Ahmad, long live to Peshmerga. Posted that right on the sheriff's website. Also included, Kurdish hackers was here. A picture of the Kurdish flag and a profane message to, guys want to guess?
Obama.
New York Magazine?
ISIS.
Oh.
Yeah, because the Kurds don't like ISIS, do they? So now the poor sheriff's department down there in Etowah County, Alabama, somehow is in the middle of this fight between ISIS and Kurds because somebody decided they were going to post that message on an insecure website. This is what happens when you have an insecure website. It's been since taken down, but according to the sheriff, it's going to come back up in a couple of days, bigger and stronger than ever. All right. And, you know, speaking of hacks and political awareness and various things like that, brings us to the case of, one of the many cases of Anonymous. And this is actually very sad news. One of the leading people in Anonymous, you don't really know them by name, but if you pay attention to various stories that come out, names do float down occasionally. This guy's name was Owen, and he was one of the people that really was able to explain things in a way that many people would not take the time. He was one of the anti-copyright hacktivist that was recently sentenced in Virginia, recently within the last couple of years. And he was part of the whole PayPal thing that happened a number of years ago where they were hacked. He faced a potential 5-year prison sentence, up to $500,000 in fines and restitution, if found guilty of conspiracy to attack a protected computer. However, he had a terminal illness and he fortunately was not sentenced to anything quite that severe. His real name, Dennis Collins, Toledo, Ohio, passed away a couple of weeks ago. And just felt we should mention that because there are hackers who do get it. There are hackers who know what they're talking about and who know what their targets are all about. And those are people to be admired, I think. I know it's controversial. You know, if you don't agree with what they happen to be saying at the moment, you won't see it that way. But I believe the same is true even for people that say things I vehemently disagree with. If you do it in a proper way, a way that has conviction and has merit behind it, no matter where that's coming from, then that's something worthy of recognition.
Yeah, a central tenet of freedom of speech. If you truly believe in it, you would also believe in it for speech you don't agree with or speech that you think is maybe not worth saying.
Exactly, yes. And then there are morons. There are all kinds of complete and total morons out there. You heard about Hitchbot, right? Oh. Yeah, really sad news. Hitchbot was a hitchhiking robot who was built in Canada and was able to hitchhike his way all across Canada and across much of Western Europe. He went across all of Germany and I believe the Netherlands as well.
Oh, Canada.
Yeah. And basically the way it worked was he'd be on the side of a road and... Someone correct me if I'm wrong. Total strangers would pass by and simply pick him up and be able to converse with him. I think he would say where he wanted to go or read off something from a bucket list of things he wanted to do, such as go to a particular ball game or wind up in a particular tourist attraction. And pictures would be taken, and he'd tweet from there and then go on to the next random person who would pick him up. I think it was random. It almost sounds too good to be true, the way things worked out as far as the places he went and the people he saw and the images he captured.
Also because I think this was all being published online in real time, where he was, where he wanted to go. So if you were following the story of Hitchbot and he turned up in your area, you could go then look for him and hope to be the one to pick him up to take him to his next destination.
Well, after Canada and after Europe, he was programmed to go across the United States. And as you may have heard, that did not go well. He made it as far as Philadelphia, Bernie.
Yeah.
and that's where he met a violent end. Someone tore him to pieces. And I don't know if they sent the picture or if somebody who happened to see him sent the picture, but you just see him beheaded and just lying on the street. Somebody apparently thought that was the right thing to do. Then there was a surveillance video that came out that showed somebody basically swinging one of his legs around or doing something that kind of implicated them. Now, keep in mind, the people who build Hitchbot have no interest in prosecuting the person behind this or people behind this. But it was very interesting to see that, hey, there's video footage of somebody vandalizing Hitchbot, and wouldn't it be nice to figure out what exactly happened?
There was an update to that story that surveillance video has been pointed out as a fake.
Yes, that was my next sentence, Rob. Thank you. Video bloggers have faked a surveillance video showing the destruction of Hitchbot, the hitchhiking robot. Basically, these two guys, known as Jesse Wellens and Ed Basemaster, were the last people to see Hitchbot in one piece when they took the robot on a ride in their truck on Friday night / Saturday morning. These guys are minor YouTube celebrities. Is there anything worse? They're minor YouTube celebrities who filmed their interactions with Hitchbot for the vlog. I'm not even going to give the name of their vlog. That's the last time I'm ever going to say that word, too. On Saturday night, Wellens tweeted that he was going to try to obtain any security footage from the area where Hitchbot was allegedly destroyed. By Sunday night, he claimed to have gotten the surveillance footage, basically he put up on one of his YouTube channels. Turns out it's fake. It shows a man believed to be Ed Basemaster, or Bassmaster, I don't know how you pronounce that name, kicking what we're led to believe is Hitchbot sitting on a bench. The problem is we can't see Hitchbot because he's obstructed by a trash can, though we can see Basemaster rip off what appears to be Hitchbot's arms. They thought it would be funny to make a fake video of Hitchbot being attacked and destroyed. You know, the limits of stupidity, I think, are being expanded every single day. We might as well give these guys the title of the people that destroyed him, because it's just so ridiculously stupid to fake something like this. So you get more hits on your stupid YouTube page? It's absurd. You are probably as stupid as the person that destroyed this. If you're not already the same person that destroyed it, you were the last people that saw Hitchbot alive, after all. The whole thing just really disgusts me, that people are that dumb and ridiculous and that they get all this attention. And I'm only giving them the attention just so I can make the point that there are smart hackers out there and there are stupid people out there that would love to be called hackers that don't deserve it.
Yeah, if you're a certain grade of YouTube celebrity, I think the name of the game is do whatever you can to get a bunch of hits to your stupid YouTube page. And that includes trolling people who care about a robot that's been destroyed. So, and is this guy's name Bassmaster?
I don't know what his name is.
That's a fishing show.
You see, the whole thing's probably a joke. Everything's just a big joke to them. It's you know, okay, whatever, guys. Have fun. But, you know, I hope the guys in Canada build another robot. I hope it does better. It's so embarrassing when your own country is the one that keeps destroying good things. No problems at all getting across Canada. No problems getting across Germany and getting across the Netherlands.
I think, Bernie, we're going to need an apology from you, being the closest we have to a direct link with Philadelphia right now.
I am sorry. I'm embarrassed that my home city, Philadelphia, was the site of the Hitchbot's beheading and raping. But I have a good alibi. I was 500 miles north of Philadelphia when it happened. Still, it's a sad thing. I'm not surprised, frankly, that this happened in Philadelphia. But I think it says a lot more about our country than other countries. This thing made it across Canada, across Germany and elsewhere in Europe, and in Philadelphia, it meets an early demise. So.
I'd still like to know how exactly it worked. You know, how they were able to just leave it on the side of a road, and how it interacted with the people in the car. I haven't read enough about that, and how
it was not a mobile robot. It didn't have the ability to ambulate on
right.
its own.
It had to be carried.
It was kind of like a rag doll with a speech interface that you could talk to it.
Okay, and people just would do whatever. Would it tell people, I want to go here now, or would it just say
yes.
things repeatedly?
Yes, it would notice people picking him up or looking at him or something, and then say, he would say where he wants to go, you know, introduce himself, tell people where he wants to go, and then pictures would be documented and sent online, and the hopeful thing is that the people who were picked up the hitchhiker would take the hitchbot to where it was going, or at least somewhere else.
Well, what would have stopped me?
It's a neat idea.
What would have stopped me from picking up Hitchbot and just driving all the way to California and just keeping Hitchbot and hogging him for myself?
Nothing.
See, that's
at all.
I'm surprised that didn't happen.
You could put Hitchbot in the trunk, like you could.
Nobody did that, or just FedEx Hitchbot
yeah,
somewhere.
Yeah,
you know, there's all kinds of things
you could. You have DHL take him or somebody.
All right. Hey, our phone number for pledge is 212-209-2950. Rob, would you like to go over the pledge levels again?
For a pledge level of $50, you can get the 2016 Hacker Calendar with beautiful pictures of payphones and all sorts of wonderful happenings on most days of the year, landmarks in hacker history. That's for a pledge of $50. And for a pledge of... what is it? $100. You can get the movie about cell phone radiation, which is somewhere in
it's
here.
Buried
is
the, under all this
it's buried under the
yeah,
stuff.
It's buried in all these papers, I'm afraid.
But you can get the movie about cell phone radiation, or you could just give us a donation and get all sorts of. Here we are. Mobilize is the name of the DVD. Mobilize, Dangers of Cell Phone Radiation. If that's something you're interested in watching, you can contribute $100 to the future of this show and this station. And you can do that on give2wbai.org. You can do that by phone at 212-209-2950. Or you could just go for other WBAI pledge. WBAI gifts that they have on the website or on the phone. You can ask the person and make sure you specify that you're donating in the name of Off the Hook, which is your favorite show, I'm hoping.
I have a date from the Hacker Calendar here, June 3rd. I just wanted to read a couple of exciting things that happened.
What happened on June 3rd?
June 3rd, the 414s hacked Sloan Kettering in 1983.
I remember that.
What was that all about?
Well, they were a bunch of Milwaukee hackers, 414 being their area code. And right away, you know Wisconsin had more than one area code because it's one in the middle right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they hacked into Sloan Kettering Cancer Center and got all kinds of headlines.
Oh.
And there was this one guy, I think his name was Neil Harris. He was the leader of it. And that was before Neil Patrick Harris was a thing. And he wound up testifying before Congress, was in all the headlines. And we were, our particular hacker group back then got raided shortly after these guys.
Interesting.
But fortunately, they took most of the heat.
Nice. It's always good.
It was the year before the 2600 came out, so hackers again were in the news and being demonized for all sorts of things. And I don't think they caused any harm on that particular computer, but they showed how wide open it was. It's amazing how things don't change,
especially in a place like that, like Cancer Center. That's interesting. I didn't know what Sloan Kettering was, but anyway, War Games was released then.
That's on that date,
June 3rd, yeah, 1983.
On that very day.
So the same day, yeah.
Do you think those guys were going out to see War Games and then got raided?
They probably had planned to see it that night, and if they didn't make it to see it.
Or maybe they did see it and they came home and got raided and said, oh, what a perfect night.
What a bummer.
Yeah, this is incredible.
Also, Baba Atomic Research Center in Mumbai is hacked by Millworm in 1998.
More recent, but still some history there.
Yeah.
It's all there, Hacker Calendar, pledge of $50, 212-209-2950, or the Mobilize DVD documentary on the dangers of cell phones, 212-209-2950, that latter one, a pledge of $100. Please, let's have those calls come in. And now, as promised, we are going to attempt, and that's all we did promise, is to attempt to do this, take phone calls from our listeners. Now, okay, we don't have a phone. That you can call. However, we did put together a phone number with the help of a particular service who we're not going to mention unless it works. I think that, you know what, if it doesn't work, we'll definitely mention them. And we've given out this number once before, actually, when we, I think it was it post-Sandy, we used this last. And what we're going to do is we're going to forward this to one of our cell phones. We're going to hold our cell phone up to the microphone and put the speaker on the cell phone, and the person calling in will be able to speak on the air. And maybe us in the studio will be able to, I certainly will because I'm holding the phone right now, we'll be able to respond to the person. Bernie, you probably won't be able to respond to them because I don't, you know, there might be a way, but let's not test it too much. Let's see if we can get somebody to call in, and we might not have any more listeners, any more callers. It's been so long.
No, we've got lots. They're all out there.
How
ready
long
to
has it been?
It's been at least 5 months?
Months?
Something like that.
We've been here for months?
It has been a couple of months. We've been transitioned.
Yeah, this is...
Is anybody logging this? When did we move to Brooklyn from Harlem? Somebody must... Well, you know, if you go to the Off the Hook site, there's encapsulations of all the shows, and I'm sure on there is the exact date we moved.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to do that right now because I'm busy with this.
It's been a whirlwind.
It's been a while.
It's been a whirlwind. It's been a while. And things are improving here. I did want to mention that earlier. We were talking about donating, and you still can. 212-209-2950.
You know, you mentioned that. Things are, this is different, isn't it? Or is it at least a better position?
The setup here
the
is,
ergonomics,
has been worked on a lot.
What happened is I think they got a bunch of desk chairs and some nice desks in here, which really helps guests and producers spread out. Mm-hmm. So bravo. Thank you, everyone at the station. And
there's a turntable
I'm sure
that looks
there's,
like kicked up.
Yeah, there's a turntable. There's everything, most everything that we would need, at least for temporary configurations here. And it looks great. So we're really thankful for that and excited about more improvements in the future as WBAI grows into our new space here.
Yeah, and we're going to continue growing, and they won't be able to stop us, and we'll have more and more week after week. But we figured it was the least we could do for our listeners to open up phone lines again, or try to open up phone lines, because you're such a vital part of what we do, and we want to hear those voices. We want to know you're still out there. I mean, we know you're still out there because we hear from you, but we want to hear live from those people.
And if there's stuff you've heard that we didn't cover, we would love to catch up to you. You may have your ears tuned to stuff that we just didn't catch, and it really is amazing. Sometimes people can put us onto stuff that we hadn't even known was going on.
Well, okay, we are a bunch of hackers, and we experiment with things, and we experiment on the air, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So
are we going to do this?
We're going to try and make it work and see what happens, and maybe it work, maybe it won't. You have to be unafraid of failure, because failure is going to be a part of anything you try. But let's see. Only one person at a time, obviously. What I'm going to do is I'm going to enable this, and then as soon as we get a call, I'm going to disable it so that if you call after we're connected to somebody, I think you'll just get a recording. And you know what? You can leave a voicemail, and maybe we can play the voicemail in a future week if it's clean. And then when we're finished with the first person, we'll enable it again, give out the phone number, and hopefully that'll work.
And I'll just point out that if you're listening to this on an MP3 in the future, we're only enabling this for this live broadcast, so don't use it to call in later.
Yeah, well, how could they possibly do... Yeah, it's always going to be recorded.
Anyway, be synced, everyone,
and
give everybody an opportunity to get on the air.
So here we go. The phone number. Get ready, folks. And again, one person's going to get through. Area code 331. I don't know where that is. I don't know where 331 is. Area code 331-223-WBAI. That's 331-223-9224. And it'll take a few seconds, and the first person to get through will reach this cell phone that I'm holding in my hand. I will then pick up the cell phone. I will then turn the speaker on. I'm not sure if it defaults to that. And hopefully we'll hear a voice of somebody. And if you are that caller, be a little patient with us. It might be hard to understand us. Okay, we are getting a call, so let's turn the speaker on and answer this. And good evening. You're on WBAI. Hold on. It's not working. There we go. Okay, please say that again.
This is Alex. I love your show. I just wanted to let you know that it works, and people still are listening.
Excellent.
Okay, we're getting that call waiting tone because they didn't hit the button fast enough. But we do appreciate your call. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Muncie, New York.
Muncie, New York?
That is in Rockland County, yes.
Okay, great.
Excellent.
914 area code, right? Or is it 845?
It's 845.
Okay. You got to know these things. Yes. Okay, well.
I just have one question.
Sounds good.
Go ahead.
I read a Wired article on hackers hacking a car, hacking into the system. I think you guys had mentioned it.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys are aware. I don't remember his name right now, but there was a famous reporter who, I think he broke the story on Portray It, and he died. His car was very mysterious. It was traveling at extremely high speeds, and people have speculated that it was possible that his car had been hacked and that he had been murdered. In your world, is anyone talking about that?
That's interesting. I know what you're talking about. Vaguely, I think it was a Mercedes he was driving in L.A., and there was speculation because of the forensics of the scene, how the motor of the vehicle had been thrown really far away, the car broke up in a really catastrophic way. And after that, there was some speculation around that. I haven't heard anything recently, but I guess we could look around maybe for some updates. And if you have anything you could send us, that'd be great too. So OTH@2600.com.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Thanks very much for that first call. And we're gonna try and do it again. I'm gonna re-enable this, and hopefully we'll get a second call in a matter of moments. Bernie, how did that sound to you?
I could hear the caller pretty well. They were a little faint, but the point is it worked. And as you put them closer to the microphone or raise their, I don't know what you did, but yeah, I could hear everything.
We have another call, so let's take this call now. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Oh, right. Awesome. I wanted to call and comment about the...
Hang on. Make sure the speaker is on. Hang on.
Yes, Hacker Mentality said he wanted to call and comment on the Hacker Mentality.
Yeah, you know, but I'm trying to figure out this damn phone. I'm hitting the button and nothing's happening.
Hurry up.
You know what? Somehow I lost him. Are you still there, caller?
Yep, still here.
Okay, well, the screen, you know what happened? I have to decline this. Bobson from Bulgaria is calling. I can see that, but yeah, you know what? I okay, now we're back. You're from Pennsylvania, are you not? See, people's caller ID is being sent. We can show people how to block it. This stupid phone, it keeps going out, and yeah.
Right, hit the top button there.
You know, I'm trying. Folks, fill some time with the talk while I get this working.
Well, I can mention that the 2600 meetings are happening all over the world this week.
Yeah, you could do that.
2600.com/meetings, find one near you or start one near you.
Okay, I think I got this figured out. Caller, are you with us? Are you with us now? Okay, we hit the right. See, what happened was call waiting kicked in as soon as your call was answered, and I couldn't hit the speaker button because it was onto a different screen, and I wasn't able to. I was almost answering another call. It was really, really frustrating. But you're from Pennsylvania because you did not block your caller ID. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
And I'm standing on Illinois area code, it looks like.
Okay.
My phone.
And you had a question for us.
Oh, yes, indeed. I just, more like an observation about the hacker mantra a lot of people pick up when you're talking to them.
Yeah.
And sadly, it seems to be the implication that it's meaning a more nefarious and criminal intent. And it's just kind of sad, particularly when you're talking to people and then they run into a bad situation or dispute. And then they'll come up to you, they're like, hey, I heard you're good with computers. So can you log into somebody's account for me? You're like, think about that for a minute, though. If somebody was mad at you, would you want them logging into your account and, like, going from there doing anything?
Yeah, but this is...
It's on, like, the personal beef level. It's just weird.
It's different. It's different when it's you, though, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And nobody really has that anymore. Like, you encounter people, be it on the street, the internet, wherever, they just don't have that personability to say, hey, you're a person, too. I acknowledge you're doing your thing, you know. Trying to have a good day. Maybe you'll have a better day if you're not trying to give other people a bad day. Everybody seems to have stepped back from that, it seems. Not everybody, but predominantly.
Uh-huh.
You just don't have that rapport with people.
Yeah, people are very quick to be on the offense and not... empathize with other people as much. I definitely see that. I see where you're going with that. That's a good point. I mean, we really do have to empathize in the course of our daily lives, and be considerate about how you how you use knowledge.
Yeah, if I make a bad comparison, I'd say, like, you know, if you go to the mechanic isn't necessarily every time trying to break your car and charge you a ton of money.
But that's a good analogy.
If you know a tradesman. Uh-huh. And then the tradesman, you know, like, it's a friend, you know, people will just call them up, and normally it won't even be a regard for their free time or the fact that maybe their work is in car repair because they're a mechanic, so when they're not at work, maybe they're not into doing something immediately all the time, or it's like, you know.
Yeah, I would guess there's a large segment of our audience who's used to being sort of the computer guy for their friends and family or things like that. But yeah, it's do unto others.
Yeah, and another aspect of that is people have these preconceived notions, so they presume certain things. And it's up to you to tell them, you know, what your ethics are like, how you feel about certain things, and that's an individual thing. That's, you know, people derive their ethics and stuff from their own identity and upbringing and so on and so forth. So definitely, it's good to correct people when they're making a presumption about you and your willingness to do certain things, violate, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's definitely up to you to let them know how you feel about that.
Yeah, the best is always like at something like a 2600 meeting, or like when I'm just wandering around out in the world wearing a hacker T-shirt or something, and a complete stranger will walk up to me and say, you know, hey, I'd really like to get into my significant other's email, or can you fix my credit or something?
And can I'm like, you hack my Facebook?
Yeah, exactly.
Not so, my like, Facebook, someone else's Facebook.
So somebody basically is willing to go up to a complete stranger and ask, hey, will you go commit a crime for me?
Yeah.
All right, listen, I want to thank you very much for your call, and we're going to open up to somebody else.
Excellent. Thanks. Pleasure as always.
Okay. Take care.
That's so fun. It's so funny. I heard some guys. I was at a bar the other night. I just overheard them talking, and the one guy was telling the other guy just about all this stuff they can do. They can do, and I knew it was a good conversation because there was the ubiquitous they.
That, by the way, is the sound of Bernie S. somehow getting disconnected in Maine. I don't know what to do about this.
Are you sure that's not a seagull?
It's a robust seagull, if it is. I can't do anything about this because I'm caught up in the digital world here with taking phone calls. Mm-hmm. And since Bernie can't participate, I think we might just say goodnight to him for now.
Uh-huh.
And goodnight, Bernie. All right, he's fine. Up there in Maine, yes. And let's take another phone call. The phone number again is 331-223-WBAI. If you don't want your caller ID sent to this cell phone, dial *67 first, or call from a line that you know is blocked. But you know, if we see caller ID, we're not going to give out your number, but we'll mention that we're able to see it so that you have that information and you're better prepared that way. All right, we have a phone number coming in, and it's Bobson again from Bulgaria. I can tell from the caller ID. Hey, Bobson, how are you?
Good evening, folks. Well,
isn't it cool? I knew who you were before you started speaking.
When it's night,
uh-huh.
Around here. Hey, I was. There were some things you spoke of earlier that I wanted to mention.
All right, we'll make it quick because other people are waiting as well.
Yeah, well, Hitchbot that was disassembled violently in Philly. There were people in Philadelphia who offered to rebuild it. This was the last thing I heard.
To rebuild Hitchbot, yes.
Not unreasonable. You also mentioned Mr. Robot and CSI Cyber.
Yes.
The things I could say about this show are going to be on that list of words I'm not supposed to mention on the radio, so I'm not going to...
Bobson, you're saying you don't like Mr. Robot. Is that what you're saying?
Much more so than I don't like CSI Cyber.
Okay, I got lost in that.
CSI Cyber.
Yeah, we were embellishing a little bit, but definitely, it's there are some things to be desired with a lot of the programming out there about hackers.
Yeah, well, you know it. I know you know it, but have a great night. Thank you for the good show.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for that call from Bulgaria. It's interesting too because we disable the forwarding to get to the cell phone as soon as we pick up, but the calls keep coming in anyway. So that tells me that this service, which I guess we can say is Google Voice, doesn't work right away. It takes a little bit of time for it to actually kick in. We're going to give out the phone number again, 331-223-WBAI. That's our telephone number. 331-223-9224. And we're going to try and take another call as soon as one comes in. I think it's working all right.
It's definitely working better than having no listener phone calls.
Yeah. What do you think, Barney? Oh, that's right. He's gone, isn't he? All right. Let's take this call coming from the 718 area code someplace. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. Speak up.
Hi, this is Pat Clark.
Okay. Well, that's exciting.
And I just want to say justice and unity rules.
Oh, okay. I think you won't find much of an argument.
I support them 100% against all those racists who don't like justice and unity.
Okay. Well, I guess that's... we're talking about the concepts of justice and unity, so...
I think we do.
But thanks for that. That was enlightening. All right. And you know what? I left the thing on. I left the button on. So we're going to continue taking phone calls. 331-223-WBAI. By the way, this phone number is not going to work after this show. So don't try calling it. You'll just get a voicemail. You can leave a voicemail. Like I said, we'll maybe play it, and that'll be fun.
Yeah, but it's not a WBAI number, so it won't get you through to other shows that
exactly.
are on.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
so on.
We could probably make funny transcripts of your voicemail, too.
Well, I know Google does that. They actually
they
try
do.
To make transcripts, and it doesn't always work out. 331-223-WBAI. Lines are open right now, or line is open right now. 331-223-9224. Again, *67 if you want to block your this person blocked their number. Congratulations on blocking your phone number. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay. A few points. I was the guy who called up some months ago about MP3 quality, and I've done some experiments. It's 3 to 6%. Pretty trivial in the face of the subject matter you've talked about. Why don't you bring a connected cable and wire that cell up to the board? And New Jersey, 201 was an original area code, but they also had 609.
That's because 609 was not an original area code. That was an expansion at one point.
Really? Okay. And as far as the hacking, the politics of hackers, we all who are listening and talking here tend to be what the commercial media might call left-wing. But in reality, isn't hacking just being a soldier of some kind? I mean, you can imagine soldiers on opposite sides killing each other one day and being nice the next, like in World War One. But the Soviets and the Nazis, probably because of the Nazis and their racism, would never get together.
Well, I mean, I think it couldn't be more different, an individual and a soldier. A soldier is supposed to be one part of a massive unit to carry forth some kind of an operation. Hackers are not good soldiers because they ask questions, they reveal things. Look at Bradley Manning. What happened there? It's not a good concept, I don't think, to foster of hackers being part of some kind of army. The media is always trying to do this. They're always trying to say the Chinese have this army of hackers. But if they really were hackers, they'd be a bunch of people questioning the rules and bending them as much as possible domestically and internationally.
Okay, so you're referring to the term hackers. In other words, whoever it is that works for the federal government at NSA, listening to this phone call directly and in higher fidelity than you can get on the cell phone, and those people from the anti-abortion side, those do some of the same things, but they don't deserve to be called hackers.
Well, I mean, first of all, the NSA is probably not any one human actually listening to answer that. And then I would say that people who do things that use hacking skills or elements of hacking attitudes and so on can also be criminals. We've said this a lot in the past to make the distinction. Definitely there are people who use elements and things that hackers have found out or are trademarks of hacking skills and techniques, but they may serve different, very, very different ends. And that's, I think, why you will not see a lot of things modeled after military insofar as this community in the broadest sense of it.
What I meant to say was that the people who are anti-abortion and hacked the Planned Parenthood could very well be in someone's employ. The more I listen to BAI, the more dirty I see things around me. And, of course, I have personal knowledge of lots of dirt over the years. And then when I put it together, I realize, oh, there was loads more dirt than I ever looked at.
There's always more dirt, yes. We know that.
So to answer that, actually, that's actually a really good distinction. To answer that, okay, so they could have been in their anti-abortion circle the hackers of the group. They could also have been apathetic, objective, completely disinterested hackers who did it for hire. Yes, those two scenarios could be very much a possibility, but I don't think in my circle of friends or other groups of hackers that they would say that those people were hackers necessarily, but maybe in their circles they might consider themselves hackers if that's their community.
The term hackers to be used for people like us and those guys to be called something else.
Wait, could you repeat that last sentence?
We want the term hackers to be used to be used to describe people like 2600 and not to be used to describe people like those guys.
Well, no. I would not say that at all. In fact, there are many people that I disagree with politically on a massive scale that I still consider to be hackers. It's not, you said many of us are left-wing, and that might be true of this room, of this station. It's not true of the hacker community. There might be a left-wing contingent. There's also a right-wing contingent. It's not about political ideology. It's about curiosity. It's about individualism. Maybe one side lends itself more to that than another. I'm not going to make that distinction, but I'm also not going to assume that everybody subscribes to the same ideology, because that would be wrong. Okay.
It's just then the distinction is getting murkier and murkier because it's becoming more like the soldiers. The soldiers, frankly, in many cases, I mean, given World War II, the World War II analogy I gave, the Soviets theoretically were defending their homeland. So you would look at them as an outside observer and say, well, I'm a little bit more on their side because they're the underdog, they're the defender. But soldiers in other wars, amazingly enough, recognized that they had more in common with each other than they did with their officers.
So
in World War One, you had a little bit of crossing the line at Christmas one of the years.
There is an element of that being quite true. Hackers do get together and work in incredibly different parts of the world and for different entities around the world, and often do not get along. There are lots of personalities within that spectrum, and attitudes and ethics and so on and so forth. So, but again,
it sounds like there's a lot more to discuss here than I don't want to eat up your time.
This is a good debate. An hour long we could talk about.
Yeah, there's a couple.
Well, I want all the BAI listeners to go get four buddies. You can do one a season. That's what I do. And the other thing is, though, I think it can be agreed that the news media and the government are using the hacking label. They're carrying on like endlessly. It's going to be to justify more surveillance. And it is irrelevant for whom the hackers work. If they work for them, obviously, then, you know, if a technical pro is going to work for them, a corporation, government, or people that they pay off or whatever their dirty thing is, obviously they're not going to talk about it and they're not going to mind. But all of this business of the threat of technical inquiry is going to be displayed as a threat to justify more surveillance.
Yes, and that's my story earlier was about people who are dismissing technology outright because of all the reports they're hearing about hacking. They're like, oh, you can do this, you can do that, and then they can make you out to be this kind of bad guy. So I just tell all my buddies I don't touch a computer. That's a wrong way to be. You need to embrace how to properly use these things and educate yourself and not just be afraid and have visceral rejection of tools and resources and information.
Yeah, and I think the main distinction is if you're doing something as a soldier, you're doing it because someone told you to. If you're doing something as a hacker, you're doing it because your own investigations and beliefs led you there.
Yeah, and the one thing I wanted to finish with here very quickly is a story that really disturbed me from England. A young computer hacker from Birmingham in England has been named as number 3 on a United States kill list of key ISIS operatives. Junaid Hussein fled to Syria in July of 2013, is now believed to be leading the Cyber Caliphate, this terrorist-owned branch of hackers from the Iraqi city of Mosul. U.S. officials have reportedly said there is an intense desire to assassinate Hussein, who tweets under, well, I'm not going to give his Twitter handle. Point is, this guy is basically known for hacking into websites and taking over Twitter accounts, and they want to assassinate him because of that. You know, this is... He may be doing other things. Maybe he's doing really evil things. But the fact that that is something that we can say with a straight face is U.S. policy is really, really disturbing. I wanted to spend more time on that. We're out of time now. So we're going to have to say goodnight for now. But let's give out that phone number one more time for the pledges.
212-209-2950.
I'm sorry, I didn't have your mic on. Go ahead.
212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. We've got the hacker calendar. We've got the RF DVD. What I
got the fire engine going by. We've got the hacker calendar autograph $50 pledge. We've got the cell phone documentary on Mobilize on cell phone radiation and the dangers for $100 pledge. 212-209-2950.
Or give to WBAI.org.
Absolutely. Hey, I want to thank everybody for participating in the experiment tonight. And I think it worked out all right, huh? I think we did okay. We'll try to do it again if we don't have regular phone lines in here.
Yeah.
Good to hear our listeners. Write to us, OTH@2600.com. We'll see you next week tonight.
I'm the recently appointed executive director for the Pacifica Foundation, and I'm delighted to be here visiting WBAI in New York, an incredible community resource that I hope that every listener will support.
Live from New York, it's the Gary Nall Show. And now, your host, Gary Nall.
Gary Nall, nice to have you with us today.
The Premium is a film that I have yet to release. I only had a brief fundraiser for One Night Manhattan 3 weeks ago. I have, then the following weekend, I had one in Woodstock, both of which were packed houses. And now this weekend on Long Island, I'll be at the Huntington Arts Cinema at noon to premiere it there. So outside of doing these private screenings to help us fundraisers, for different groups, like it's the radio show in Woodstock that carries this program that I do every day. They're a small station, and they carry my show. They carry Guns and Butter and Richard Wolf and a few of the other programs that you hear on BAI. And I love going up to Woodstock anyhow, because it really, it's just like a regression back in the 1960s.
It's
like I said to the group, I said, you know, coming to Woodstock is like opening a closet that hasn't been opened in 40 years, and all these kind of long-haired people with, you know, with cobwebs saying, come on in. And it's a nice experience. But the film that I have just finished, that is slated for release in December on PBS stations around the country, is called Saving the Planet, One Bite at a Time. And